Gotcha! Recording from the Pod Cave, aka my humble abode. In this special pod, we dive into Serie A. Totti bags a brace as Roma and Napoli set the pace. Bundesliga, Bayern stutter, but Dortmund collapse. And La Liga news, future Spanish international Diego Costa keeps Atletico Madrid on par with Barca as Real Madrid are saved again by Ronaldo. It's a penalty, and unlike England, we don't miss. Let's go, we're on the ball. And we're back. It's the On The Ball Soccer Podcast. We're a very special pod today. This week, I'm joined by West again. West, two days in a row.
Yeah, almost going strong.
Going strong. We've been watching a lot of Europe, or continental Europe. We're going to do a Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga review. See where the big teams are doing well.
Absolutely.
But I was always, when I was reviewing for the show, and I was telling Gio when Gio arrived to do the show today, I used to watch so much soccer from all the different leagues, and it's just a lot harder to do, I think, in the US to watch them all. But I did some investigative work today, and got all the games in. We're going to start with Serie A, and no better place to start than Francesco Totti. Scoring twice for Roma as they moved 5 points clear at the top of Serie A with a 3-0 victory over fourth-placed Inter Milan at the San Siro. That's 7 wins in a row for Roma, and defeat for Inter was their first this season, and they're now 7 points adrift. I guess we'll talk about Totti. At 37 years of age, 551 games.
Ageless
wonder. 230 goals since debuting. Day before my 5th birthday, the 28th of March, 1993. Just signed a contract extension as well till 2016. I guess first question is, what separates these players, the Tottis, the Lampards, the Giggs, the Scholeses? It seems they're ageless.
I guess generally it's just the big moments. They're able to produce when needed. You know, they're not necessarily... I don't know if they're necessarily great just every game, but they're always reliable every game. But they also come in, they're able to just step up in big moments when the team needs them and still create, even though they still don't have like the physical ability they used to have, but just like the mental knowledge. And it seems like they've prepared themselves to play over time. Like a lot of people just rely on their natural skills and abilities so much. When there's little intricacies and turns and positioning and things like that, that when you get older, you're still able to beat people who are physically better than you, but they don't have the mental capacity to put their bodies in the right places to be able to read the game as great of a manner so that you're able to still produce.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that you mentioned almost the speed of thought. And that's what I think Lampard's really good in there. For a prime example of someone that maybe hasn't got the legs anymore, but certainly mental capacity.
Yeah, him like coming, I mean, he plays more defensive now, but he's still a threat on goal, coming in on runs and, you know, one-timers from distance. I mean, that's something you pick up over time.
Totti, 58 games for Italy, only 9 goals. Not the greatest goal-scoring record for an attacker and a player of his... Well, he has been a player of great quality over the years. Have we got any theories of why that might be? Such a low goal-scoring record for international football?
Then it comes down to, I believe, who you played with. But in Roma, he has a position where he knows you can always tell what everybody's going to do. I think at the international level, generally, sometimes it comes a little bit more one-on-one. Like, everybody kind of uses their individual skills. But at club level, you play with the same people so often that your tendencies are a little bit easier to read. So it's easier for you to put yourself in a position where you know this person tends to go. With international, you don't play enough games with the same people unless you play for like Spain. Spain, maybe Germany, where you just have that innate energy, that innate flow that allows you to know where to be. Which is advantageous for somebody of older age where they don't have the quickness to get there, but they know where to be well in advance. to pounce on a ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember growing up when Totti was obviously much younger than he is now, there was always a question whether him and Del Piero could play together for Italy, much like the Gerard Lampard debate that England have been going on about for the past goddamn 15 years, however long it is. And maybe that's why he certainly hasn't got as many caps, closer to 100. I would have thought Totti would have by now, but still a fantastic player and one club man, which is always good to see.
Yeah. Also talk about Juvinho a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
It was kind of a, I guess he's always a terror, but I mean, he was in this game, he was especially good coming in off the right, cutting into the left, and he was fouled for the penalty.
Yeah.
And I believe he had an assist as well, but just really put the pressure on Inter on the left side of the defense, and with him coming down the right. I think he had two or three shots on goal as well. I mean, he was just really.
Was he wasteful up front?
Oh, as usual. He still hasn't gotten rid of that since he was at Arsenal as well. Really, really wasteful. Probably goes for a little bit too much, too often. But still the same. He was really breaking down the defense. He just wasn't able to put it in the back of the net like he should have been able to.
Yeah.
But it worked to open up the. He definitely was opening it up for the rest of the team, so.
Well, hopefully Juvinho does well. I'm sure Arsenal fans send their happy thoughts to him, that's for sure. Yeah. While Roma were winning, Napoli kept in touch with them with four different goal scorers as they beat Livorno 4-0. Pandev, Inna, Callejon, and our favourite Hamsik with the goals. Before we talk about, I guess, Roma and Napoli's chances of actually winning Serie A. The thought occurred to me when I was watching the games today, or the highlights of the games, is that there's such a big thing made in the Premier League about when a team's losing their best player. You know, like this summer when it was thought Suarez was leaving.
Torres didn't leave. We were
he didn't leave. He's still at
I was hoping that
unfortunately
had happened.
For you guys. But Suarez, there was a big thing, he might be leaving, and oh, what a tragedy this will be for Liverpool, and then Rooney maybe leaving Man U, what a tragedy. Bale leaving Spurs. But then it occurred to me that Napoli, much like two other teams I could think of, lose their players every single year, their best players. And Napoli, 2 years ago, didn't finish in the top three. They lose Lavezzi to Paris Saint-Germain.
Mm-hmm.
Then they finish second in the following season, which was last season. And again this summer, they lose their best player, Cavani. Yes, again to PSG.
PSG.
And yet they're improving all the time. And even though, you know, they're showing basically you lose your best player, it's not the end of the world. And it's really about the team rather than that individual one talent. I mean, other teams I was thinking of were Dortmund and Atletico Madrid.
I think that has to deal with the position that you're losing the player in. I think you can deal with a little bit better sometimes with losing maybe a striker if you still have the creative midfielder, the playmakers there that can distribute the ball to other people. And also it makes you a lot less predictable at times. You know when you're going to your strikers up top a lot of the time, especially if you have one up top. But when you have not just a dominant striker, you're able to spread the ball around a bit more, and it's a little bit hard to predict where they're going to go with it. I think in this game, was it Dries Martens, their striker up top? He wound up having two assists. So it's kind of harder to predict where it's coming from when it's as opposed when you have like Cavani up top. You know, that's where they're trying to get the ball.
Yeah, exactly. Everything's going to go through Cavani or that main guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I could see that. Well, Juventus, obviously the current champions, came back from 1-0 down to beat AC Milan by 3-2. Former Portsmouth and Sunderland midfielder Sully Montari scoring in the first and last minute for AC Milan, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
Pirlo, Giovinco and Chiellini with the goals for Juve. I don't know if...
Balotelli was out again on suspension.
He was suspended?
Yeah.
Well, in this game, there's going to be more suspensions coming Milan's way. Game started, Pirlo scored... took a... pretty average free kick, to be honest, but he scored it. Terrible goalkeeping. Milan have a, if people don't know, have a goalkeeper called Christian Abbiati, who's about 40 years old. And I say about, he's probably about 35. He was useless when he was 21, so he's still useless today. But there's talk of Pirlo coming back to the Premier League. I mean, couldn't happen, could it?
Not at this age. I think, no, he's just a little, he's not quick of foot at all. Really, I mean, and you have to have some type of speed. You have to have, you might, if you're just not have breakaway speed, you have to have some type of quickness. I just don't think that he can come and play. I mean, even like with Lampard, he's, I could say, considerably quicker than Pirlo. He's had to move back to a more defensive position where it's not required for him to be such, so quick left to right and up the field. I mean, he can kind of come back and cover and then have just Terry and, you know, Luis behind him. Obviously, he'd be great in the, from free kicks and things of that nature. But I just, I think the midfields in the Premier League are too quick. There's too many players there with a lot of speed.
Yeah.
For him,
and
I think.
And especially like with,
like, I mean, I said, like, yeah, when they played against, I think it was Spain. I mean,
when he got completely outrun in that game.
Yeah, there's just nothing he can do when he runs up. And Spain's quick. They're not necessarily fast in the midfield. Like Iniesta and Xavi. Well, Iniesta's pretty quick. Like Xavi, he's quick. He's not fast. And I just think in the Premier League, he would just get run out of there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, especially if the rumor was true. I wonder where he would certainly go. He'd probably be welcome at Manchester United. But it's they need good midfielders, by the way. Juve's first appointment after the international break that's coming up is against Fiorentina, and Roma play Napoli in the big derby at the top of the league. In that Milan game, you spoke about Balotelli being suspended. Philip Mexes was the French central defender, was sent off during the game and has been banned for three further games, so that's four in total after the Italian FA reviewed footage of Mexes punching Chiellini during the match, believe it or not. Gio, you should have seen it. He punched it. Well, it was a little more like a club to the side of their head. The incident went unnoticed, but retrospective action, and they've banned him. Which brings a big question: is why this doesn't happen in the Premier League so often? But I don't know. Retrospective ban should come into place. The AC Milan chief executive Adriano Gallini slammed the decision. Which has also brought about this. Apparently, there were crowd trouble during this
well,
huge
I mean,
game.
He got sent off for the punch, though, correct?
No, he wasn't sent off for the punch.
What did he get sent off for?
He was. It was a second booking.
Oh, second booking.
And it was
booking.
Dissent,
okay.
But yeah, he shouldn't have clearly been on the field at that point.
Point.
Okay. I think he was only on the field 10 minutes, 15 minutes after he punched Chiellini, so he didn't play that much longer. But the Milan fans, apparently there was some chanting in the stands, and now Milan have to play their next game against Udinese behind closed doors. Milan chief executive says he was in the stadium and he didn't hear anything, which is hardly, you know, clearly he doesn't hear anything. Got a bit of the Arsene Wenger syndrome. Wenger never sees anything, I guess. Milan now perhaps can only dream of a title challenge after their third league defeat of the season, leaving them floundering in 12th place. The stat of the day, the last time the traditional big three, Inter, Milan and Juventus, didn't win the league was 2000 to 2001 season. 12 years on, West and Napoli and Roma have what it takes to finally prize the Scudetto away from the traditional big three.
That's a tough question. I think so. I wouldn't bet against Napoli being able to maintain it. Roma, another question. I think their depth might be an issue over time. But Napoli, I think, has the depth, the quality. I mean, they're not even really leaning that hard on Tevez yet. I mean, he's played the first couple of games really well, and he's kind of eased up a little bit. But, I mean, once he comes true to form again, I think they'll be the class.
Yeah. It'll be interesting how Juve also do this season. I mean, they do have Tevez and Llorente up front and Vidal, and then the other Manchester United youngster that seemingly went away, Paul Pogba.
When I was talking about Napoli, I meant Higuain.
Higuain.
Not and Tevez.
That's fine.
that was a slip of the tongue. I meant to say Higuain because he was missing from this previous game.
Missing for the Champions League game, obviously, against Arsenal the other week. Once he's in goal scoring form, Napoli should be good to go. And maybe by May, the hugely impressive and much loved former Chelsea manager Rafa Benitez will finally get a little bit of credit, right? If he wins Serie A, he's obviously won La Liga with Valencia before in the past. So we'll see how he does. If anyone wanted to know, you can catch Serie A on beIN Sports network here in the US. That's where you can check out all the games. Onto Bundesliga. Bayern Munich moved to the top of the Bundesliga with a 1-1 draw at Bayer Leverkusen after Borussia Dortmund suffered their first defeat. Bayern extended their unbeaten run to 33 Bundesliga games, even though they drew. And they're now closing in on the record of 36 games unbeaten, which was set in 1983.
Yeah, I think what their last league loss was to Leverkusen, wasn't it?
I think it might have been to Leverkusen. Yeah, that's right. And it took a whole of 30 minutes for Frank Ribery, a low cross across the box. Toni Kroos put Bayern in the lead. It lasted about a minute before the brilliantly named Sidney Sam, what a name, leveled the scoreline, finishing off with a wonderful piece of play by Leverkusen. I was very impressed with them. Manuel Neuer, who some regard as the best goalkeeper in the world. I guess he had the case of a hot potato because, Jesus Christ, this guy, he makes like brilliant shot-stopping abilities he has, but he can't keep hold of the ball. That was the huge problem, especially for this Leverkusen goal, because he made two great saves, but should have really held on to one of them. He didn't. Spilled it and Leverkusen scored, so a bit of trouble that way. And he does look like he has a mistake in him, Neuer. I know that obviously goalkeepers get harshly criticized a lot, but
absolutely, he's definitely one of the best in the world. But I mean, that might just be a thing. We'll have to do some research on that and see if he has some hand issues,
right?
Maybe he has smaller hands than most goaltenders or something. He's able to get him in the way, but not able to palm the ball. But we'll see. What do you think about Mueller being played as the lone striker up top? Is that like the false nine?
That is almost like a false nine.
Is it? Or, because I can't really figure. I mean, because he plays so active up top like a striker, but is it like the false nine that was used at Barcelona with Pep there?
Yeah, he kind of is. He's a bit more, I guess, when Pep used that false nine, I guess he either had Messi or I guess sometimes Fabregas was moved to that central attacking midfielder kind of up top. Müller's good. I mean, I'm still sad they lost Gomez, to be honest with you. I was a big fan of, most people aren't, but Mario Gomez I thought was terrific. Had injury really last season, that's why he left. But I think Müller's good. I mean, we'll see how, I mean, Bayern obviously are on this great run. We'll see how Pep does. But he really has no excuse if it goes badly. I mean, he does have the greatest team in the world currently at his disposal. So, who knows? But this Neuer thing shows a bit of an importance of a backup goalkeeper, putting pressure for, you know, competition for that number one jersey. I mean, people say that's why Joe Hart has been doing so badly, because he has no competition. Yeah. He knows he's going to be number one, so.
I mean, there's a couple of places where people are number one, kind of undisputed, especially if you come to the Premier League. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's true. Mark Schwarzer might be coming up behind Petr Cech, but that, no, he's not.
That's never gonna happen. Our second best goalie is playing for Atletico right now.
Oh well, we're gonna talk about Courtois in a bit. And speaking of Chelsea and second string goalkeepers, for the longest time Chelsea had the number one and two best goalkeepers in the league. They had Cech, and then they had Carlo Cudicini at the time as backup, and he was awesome. Back to obviously Germany. Dortmund lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach by 2-0. They started the day level on points with Bayern at the top. but with a better goal difference. Jurgen Klopp's team, who had scored 10 goals without reply in their previous three games in all competition, conceded twice in the final 10 minutes to suffer their first Bundesliga defeat since the final day of last season. First goal was a penalty. The best defender outside of Thiago Silva, Mats Hummels, committed the foul and was sent off for the foul. And I don't know if you saw the foul that led up to the penalty, but it's not like a dangerous challenge. He's taken the guy from behind, but it's not a... It's like knocked him over. And I always think a yellow card and a penalty is punishment enough. But I don't know. It's in the rules, I suppose. Last man, you got to send the guy off.
Last man from behind.
Yeah. Again. If people see the challenge, you'd be like, that's a bit harsh to get sent off. But
I mean, if people would just like maybe pulled him back.
Yeah, that's
then
true.
You'd probably get yellow and penalty. But if you challenge from behind and it's last man, it's... You're going above and beyond, you know?
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm clutching at straws, am I?
it's a fine line. Like, in that situation, like, he can try to make the play, make the tackle, but it's probably not going to be happening. You're probably better off just, like, grabbing him or something like that, which he's probably going to fall to make sure he gets the call. So, it's tough. It's tough to make that challenge, especially last minute and coming from behind, so.
Yeah, that's true. And I was just thinking, what if the red card wasn't given? Mönchengladbach missed the penalty, and then Dortmund go up at the other end and score. I mean, that would be pretty harsh. Then you'd have everyone coming out saying Hummels should have been sent off. A guy called Cruz, not Cruz of Tony Cruz, took the penalty for Gladbach, sent the goalkeeper the wrong way. It was actually a very good penalty, and then Raphael made it 2-0 in the 86th minute. Home crowd and the bench went absolutely bananas, as you would imagine, beating Dortmund at Dortmund.
Yeah.
The win sees Mönchengladbach up to fourth in the table behind, obviously, the big two, Bayern and Dortmund, and
Leverkusen.
Bayer Leverkusen, yeah, that's right.
Tied for second.
I know, right? missed opportunity, obviously, for Dortmund, seeing that as though Bayern drew.
Right.
But, you know, it's good to see other teams putting up a challenge in the Bundesliga this season. We thought it was going to be runaway train time, you know, these two teams.
I mean, it's still a little early, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I mean, Leverkusen has to be reckoned with. I mean, they're Champions League. They were the last team to beat Bayern, so they have to be respected.
Absolutely. Yeah, we spoke about, obviously, Napoli earlier, without touching on their Champions League campaign. Leverkusen also in the Champions League in Manchester United's group. So we'll see what effect we'll see whether these teams can really juggle the Champions League and their league games. I mean, obviously the bigger teams are much more used to that kind of squad rotation.
And that's another thing. Well, was jumping back to the Italian league, that's something that might benefit Roma, not being in Champions League. So,
yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point. We'll see what happens with that. Bundesliga can be caught on Goal TV or ESPN if people want to watch it, depending where you are in the North American region. How about that? La Liga. Barcelona continued their perfect start to the league campaign as they came from behind to beat Real Valladolid 4-1. Their eighth win in as many games.
No Messi, no problem.
No, that's true. Javi Guerrero headed the leaders in front before Alexis Sanchez, who, to be honest, was out of all the games I watched, he was the most impressive person. He equalized with a wonderful right-footed strike from outside the box. I guess usual Barcelona total football for their second goal. Neymar, my favorite player, looked extremely lively in the match. Involved in the build-up when Xavi side-footed Barca ahead. Sanchez made it 3-1.
Off the assist from Neymar.
Yeah, that's right. But he had yet another long-distance strike, smashed off the bar about 60 minutes in. And then Sanchez get his second and Barca's third. Yes, Neymar with the assist. And then Sanchez returned the favor for Neymar, who made it 4-1. I'm going to have a mini rant here. Watching Barca play, as brilliant as they are, knowing they'll more than likely win most games that they play, surely there's some incentive lost if you're a Barca fan. And let's say, you know, we all love watching our teams, and if we can watch the games, we will go watch the games, you know? But if you're a Barca fan, surely if something comes up at Saturday at 1:30 and you're thinking, oh, I kind of like to do that, why really go watch my team? They'll probably win anyway. I mean, do you get what I mean? It kind of loses the incentive,
I don't know. I mean, if you like your team, if you like their style of play, if you like your favorite player, you always want to see your favorite players win.
And you always want to win,
And you always want to win. I mean, they've won, I think, 19 straight home games in La Liga. I'm pretty sure it's like 19 straight home wins in La Liga. I mean, I love watching my team win. I don't care. Now, if my if I knew my team was going to lose every week, I might not go watch. But if I knew my team was going to win every week, I'd probably show up most times. I mean, I might miss. If I thought it was going to be a blowout, I might not go, you know, but.
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe Barcelona fans are going to get my back.
They're probably going to get you for that one,
You'd be watching Man U every game if they were winning.
Absolutely. You'd be wanting to go for the undefeated season.
I wouldn't be watching the games. I'd spend all my time on the internet gloating at other fans. It's like what I would be doing. Elsewhere, Cristiano Ronaldo rifled home a 94th minute winner as Real Madrid twice came from behind to beat Levante 3-2. Early on, Modric and Ronaldo went close with chances. To be honest, Madrid at times looked pretty ragged offensively, but still obviously beasting the match. Diarra put Levante ahead in the 57th minute. Real Madrid's defense.
That was a great goal by Diarra.
It was very good.
The one touch left-footed volley was pretty sick.
It was good, but I thought Real Madrid's defense.
They were really ragged.
Ramos. Ramos was at Pepe. I didn't see Pepe the assassin. I don't think he was playing. But Levante's lead was short-lived as a. One of the defenders, Sergio Ramos, getting on the end of a cross, back post cross, nice finish. And then Marcelo missed an open goal, which was entertaining if you're not a Real Madrid fan. And then a player known as El Shahar put Levante in the lead again.
Yeah, his goal was real interesting. It's like Lopez came out of the goal and I guess El Zahar was probably maybe, 3 yards from the goal to the goal line? And he's like, I think he had Ramos on his back. He was just like holding him there.
That's right.
Lopez comes flying into the back into goal, and then he like moves to the center, stumbles, and takes the shot. And I was baffled by how many Real Madrid players ran like by him or beside him, and they couldn't just get him off the ball.
It was chaos.
It was chaos, but I mean, it was great for him. I mean, it was a workmanlike goal, like to hold him on his back like that and then turn to the inside and from such close range, it was shocking, but it was a great goal, great effort there.
Yeah, it was a very good goal. And then I know Lopez wasn't completely at fault for the goal, but you do wonder why Iker Casillas isn't starting. But who am I to judge Carlo Ancelotti, right? It's worth checking the highlights for that goal alone. It was very good show of strength. And I liked it because when I was watching the highlights and that goal went in, the camera just pointed at Zidane and Ancelotti sitting there thinking, I think we're fucked here. But it didn't take long as Morata got Madrid back on level terms. It was assisted by the one and only Cristiano Ronaldo. And then Modric set up Ronaldo in the 94th minute to score just outside the area. It was a decent game, I think.
Speaking of that, it was a good shot from Ronaldo.
Oh, it was a fantastic shot.
It took a deflection, though. Pretty big deflection.
Did take a deflection.
Yeah, it took a pretty big deflection, but I don't know if it probably been an on goal. I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe.
But it took a pretty big deflection. Like, it changed direction pretty heavy. But not to take anything away from the shot, it probably would have went if it didn't take the deflection. But
Yeah.
That it did. It was I thought it was entertaining. I enjoyed watching that game. It was one of the games that I actually got to see for almost the entirety of all the games we're reviewing, so.
Absolutely. Real Madrid have earned 10 points from losing positions this season, more than any other La Liga team, which is very reminiscent of my Manchester United last season, if you remember rightly. It was a good omen for them, maybe for Madrid. But watching the game, and to know that Ronaldo has now done this two very, very late goals in relatively quick weeks, it's kind of bad that they rely so heavily on him. I mean, when you think that they let Ozil go, who was arguably their best midfielder, I mean, outside of Ronaldo, and they're now Real Madrid a third, 5 points behind Barca and Atletico. I mean, surely they got to... I guess Isco didn't... I don't think he played in that game, in the highlights game, but they're definitely missing something. They can't just rely on Ronaldo the whole time.
I mean, I don't know if it's tactical or what. I mean, they haven't... And it just might just be time, too. I mean, it's still kind of early in the season. That team with Ozil in it was a little bit more polished. They've had a little more time together. You have the new entry of, like, Isco. You're still trying to figure out how you're going to have Bale in there. And there's a lot of questions surrounding the team. There's not the certainty of how you're going to play and what's the method of tactics that works best for them. So it's still kind of early. I mean, they're not too far out of it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But they have time to get it around. They have the talent. I mean, we all think just about everybody picked them to be there.
Yeah.
In the Champions League, and obviously they're going to be there in La Liga regardless. But, I mean, it's early in the season, and we will get to see tactically. We know Ancelotti, players love him. They love the personality. They love to play for him. But tactically, can he get this group of big personalities to work together and play in a way that they can compete with Barcelona? Because they're going to have to beat Barcelona if they want to win La Liga. I mean, because... And Atletico at this point. What's Atletico? Atletico's 8-0-2, so...
That's a great segue.
Yeah.
Well, Atletico Madrid, yeah, as you said, moved back level with Barcelona at top of La Liga. 2-1 win against early relegation contender Celta Vigo. I thought, actually, this was a pretty decent game. Atletico started brightly. David Villa forcing a great save from... Gotta be man of the match, the Celta Vigo goalkeeper, Yoel Rodriguez. 24 minutes in. David Costas fouled Felipe Luis. How about that? In the box. Pretty clear penalty. Not like some of the dodgy ones we've seen so far in various leagues around Europe. But the man of the hour, Diego Costa, not up for the job. Misses the penalty. Rodriguez diving low, making the save.
Which is surprising because Diego Costa is leads La Liga in goals.
Yeah, he
does. So it's kind of shocking for him to get up there and miss the penalty. As reliable as he's been so far this season.
Yeah, that's true. And he scored his first goal of the day just before halftime. Just a simple tap in. This Rodriguez guy made too many saves. In my notes, there's save. Every other word was save, save, save. You know, Atletico Madrid's goalkeeper, you mentioned him earlier, Courtois was playing. I would say he was at fault for the Celta Vigo goal. He kind of dived low, should have stayed upright. Ball gets went looping ball over his head to the Celta Vigo Nolito. It was just a tapping finish. But Atletico Madrid, you were saying about Real kind of stuttering. Atletico obviously beat Real Madrid last week, and now they're eight wins, eight games. Is this the season? Are we finally going to get a season where another team other than Barcelona and Real Madrid are in the top two and certainly challenging?
I think Atletico will certainly challenge. Because I don't think there's a fourth team that's going to really cause them any trouble. Like you said, they got the win over Real already.
Yeah.
So if they just go even in that series, lose 2 to Barca and beat everybody else, I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, they're right. And we can say this about La Liga to a certain degree.
I mean, they're going to have trouble with them. I mean, they got Courtois, But I mean,
but he's the star player. You have to outline Courtois.
Yeah, absolutely, because he's the best goalie in La Liga. I mean, I think that's important to point out for them, because that's going to be something that's strong for them, an advantage, one place where they will have an advantage over Barcelona. But yeah, I think they definitely can challenge this year. I think they have the squad to do that.
Yeah, they should. Now, talk about Diego Costa. Bit of news here on the ball. Diego Costa, who's Brazilian-born, has decided that he wants to play for the Spanish national team. And he's played for Brazil 3 times, but they're in international friendlies. So technically, they're not competitive games. So he hasn't basically registered for a nation. Brazilian FA have yet to deliver official confirmation that Costa has refused to play for the Brazilian national team. Funny enough, I guess they're trying to convince him. Would you rather put yourself in Diego Costa's shoes? Would you rather play for Spain, or would you rather play for Brazil? Taking into account you're born in Brazil, if that makes any difference.
I mean, I think from his perspective, maybe, since at the age, I think he's 25 at this point, just because he hasn't had the number of caps, or he might not think that he's going to get the looks to join the Brazilian national team. I think since the Spanish national team does kind of lack an out-and-out striker.
I thought they had Fernando.
Fernando who? a striker that's performing, I should say.
£50 million striker, what are we talking?
He's heavy, and his bank account is heavy, but his gold tally bank isn't heavy at all. It's actually quite light. But Diego Costa, I think he sees there's probably an opportunity there to get into the national team and play, especially playing in the Spanish league. There'll be more of a driving force of, this is the guy we want up top, this is the guy we want up top, you know what I mean? So I think he feels he has a better opportunity to get into the squad there.
Yeah, and I think, as you make a good point about his age, you would think at this point, I mean, if you're in his shoes, you would think, well, I've had all these years to be called up, at least for one competitive fixture for the Brazilian national team, and it hasn't happened yet. So maybe you take that as a bit of a snub in a way, and think, well, I kind of fancy playing in front of Iniesta and Xavi.
So if it's a friendly, you can still.
You can still, yeah. It's not, if it's not a competitive FIFA fixture, then technically it doesn't count towards your registration in terms of the international arena. Well. So, but he's chosen to represent Spain.
And he's definitely, he's making a case. He's making a case to get in the squad. I mean, you're ahead of the two top goal scorers in the world over the past, 3 years?
Yeah.
So, he's definitely making a case.
He is, and he's another example at Atletico, where Atletico Madrid had Torres, they had to let him go. Then they had Sergio Aguero, had to let him go. Then they had Diego Forlan, had to let him go. And then they had Falcao and had to let him go. Now they have Diego Costa. These scouting systems are remarkable, apparently, that they replenish their strikers every single year where they lose them.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible. Any news in the French league, Ligue 1? Any news of Monaco and Marseille still racking up the points?
I know the big issue at PSG right now is, what can you do with Cavani? Like, how can they get him involved? Because he plays well up top as a lone striker. But when you bring in Ibrahimovic, there's an issue of, how do you get the most out of Cavani? Because he doesn't play well. They don't play well together yet. So,
and I'd rather play Zlatan up front, I think, than Edison Cavani.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyone would. Well, PSG did beat Marseille, which is actually a huge game.
Zlatan, I believe, had the penalty. He did. The winning penalty in that game.
He did, yeah. 66-minute penalty. Maxwell, two former Barcelona players on the score sheet for PSG. Well, three. Sorry. Correction. Three. Two. Maxwell with the goal. Left-sided defensive midfielder, I guess you could say. And Ibrahimovic, obviously, another former Barca player. And Thiago Motta was sent off in the 31st minute for PSG. Another former Barcelona midfielder. And I was scored for Marseille in their solitary goal. So they lose at home at the Stade Velodrome. I'll be interested what PSG do because they do have such a wealth of attacking options. Mentioned Lavezzi earlier. Monaco beat Saint-Étienne 2-1. Lucas Ocampos, the Argentinian striker, scored in the 87th minute, former River Plate player. There were talk a few years ago that he was the next big Argentinian prospect to come through. You know how they like to label their players the next Maradona.
Yeah,
and he was supposed to be, and he left River Plate, and he could have gone to most leagues in the world. Big teams would have taken him, and he joined Monaco when they're in the French second league before I believe their Russian owner bought them, which is weird enough. And now he finds himself in the first team of top of the league team, Monaco in Ligue 1. PSG are still second, both 21 points from 9 games. Ligue 1 is really turning out to be everything we thought it would be. The two-team league. They're only 4 points in front of Lille in third, but we'll see how Monaco do. You want me to do a quick plug for not next week's show? Is it next week's show? Yeah, it is next week's show. The 20th show. 20 already. Doesn't seem that long ago. It kind of does. It's a weird mixture of feelings. I'm going to have the people can call in, Skype in. The Skype name is On The Ball Show. I will also put it up on the Facebook page, the On The Ball Soccer Podcast Facebook page, and on the Twitter at On The Ball Show. You can call in. We'll start at, we'll put the time and the date and everything, because next week's show will not be on Sunday, right? Yes, checking the schedule. People can call in, give your views, your opinions. You can talk about Neymar if you really wanted to, because I'm still eating humble pie every day. And yeah, that's about it. It's on this very special On The Ball podcast talking about La Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga. I think maybe next week we'll delve into Ligue 1 a bit more, considering the big spenders are at the top of the tree. But it was a good insight into the continental European leagues, and people I know don't get to see them that much, especially here in the States, because you have satellite television and all this stuff. But yeah, BN Sports, Goal TV, you can check out all the leagues. I know we go to FootyTube and check it out. I can give them a good plug to watch all the highlights and press conferences and all that. But if your team aren't in the top 5, what, they're not on FootyTube? Is that
for the most part? If you're at number 5, pretty much they just got the score line for you.
So that's the best I can hope for. But from me, Jake Fields, Gio, thank you so much for this late night edition. I appreciate you, bro. And Wes, thank you so much.
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to by the time this comes out, the World Cup qualifiers will be over, which is why we didn't review the World Cup games. Hopefully your team, your nation made it to the World Cup. Hopefully England are there.
Yeah, what does England need to do this week?
Oh my goodness. England need to win both games. They are top of the group. Ashley Cole is out. Thank you for that. We're getting some breaking news here on the ball.
England, I mean, that's Leighton Baines, so we're fine.
Yeah, you're they're Leighton Baines. That's fine. But England need to win really their two games, because if they're in the playoffs, they could be looking at playing France or Sweden, which would actually probably be a harder game than France.
Absolutely.
Because our favourite player, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, is playing. Last time England played Sweden, it was the greatest, Steven Gerrard said it was the greatest goal he's ever seen live. It was the overhead kick from some distance.
Well, he had 3 goals that game?
He did. It was, yeah.
Three
it was,
goals, yeah.
It was the opening of the Swedish National Arena. And Zlatan gets all 3 goals against. And England were winning that game, I believe, 1-0 at the top.
Yeah.
So hopefully England make it to the World Cup. I think, are Mexico playing this week? I think they are. I'm sure they are. This World Cup qualifiers. I don't follow. If it's international football, I don't have to follow Mexico, do I? I can just follow my own team. Hopefully Mexico make it. I think the US are on the verge, right? If they haven't made it already. And obviously the big news is whether Belgium can remain undefeated in top their group. And I think the latest bookmakers have Belgium second favourites to win the World Cup.
Yeah.
Which is extremely high.
I've been calling it ever since the first day of the podcast. Belgium.
With your favorite goalkeeper in goal, Courtois. Hazard, Fellaini.
Lukaku, Benteke, De Bruyne. Yeah, Morales.
Axel Witsel. The Marlin. Company's out for a month. He misses the...
Yeah, he'll be ready for the World Cup, though.
He'll be there. Vertonghen, I know, there's too many good players.
Yeah, Vertonghen, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Chanley, obviously, of Spurs. Dembele. Jesus Christ.
Here they come.
Here they
Belgium.
Come. Belgium. Okay, we're supporting Belgium from now. Remember, go on the Facebook page, look up those details of the Skype and the 20th, special 20th show. We'll also have a big announcement, hopefully, for that day, too. Very exciting news.
So. Mexico's going to be playing Panama.
Panama?
So...
Cheers, confident.
Yeah, we should be good. We want to see Mexico make it.
I want to see Panama make it. What are you talking about? I'm just kidding. I want Mexico to make it.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. Thank you, guys. And we will see you next week. It's on the ball. Is this their moment?